Hi there, and welcome to this ISIS Chemical News Central podcast for Monday, the 6th of September 2010. I'm Simon Robinson.
And I'm Nigel Davis. We're bringing you a selection of the news published across the ISIS group over the past week. You can catch us in all the usual places at www.isis.com, on Podomatic and on iTunes. And of course, you can download the show from those latter two sites.
Certainly can.
Been a bit of a break, Simon, but holidays, I think, are behind most of us now.
And if we had to have a theme for this week, I guess it would be stormy weather, wouldn't it?
It is.
Outside the Gulf.
Feel for people in the Carolinas, on the beaches on the east coast of the States, who are all packing up and going home, I think, as we speak. I believe President Obama had declared a state of emergency for North Carolina, or certainly parts of North Carolina. But Hurricane Earl strengthened or re-strengthened into a Category 4 hurricane on Wednesday afternoon. Mm-hmm. May have eased off a bit on Thursday. I'm not so sure about that. But I've looked at the satellite pictures. You can see them on the National Hurricane Center's website.
Uh-huh.
And the storm is huge.
Yeah.
It really is. And, of course, remember we had Danielle last week, Earl this week.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a hurricane or a tropical storm coming along behind that.
Would that be Fiona?
That's Fiona. Uh-huh. And behind that is Gaston.
Oh.
And there are suggestions that Gaston may be heading into the Gulf. Well, I think Gaston is heading that sort of way. But, I mean, it's the early days yet for that storm. But it looks as though Earl particularly could affect a significant portion or proportion of the U.S. East Coast.
Certainly could. Now, the other hurricanes, I suppose, have been the economy, hasn't it? With things going quietly in the US, the auto industry's down, what, 23%?
Auto sales in the US in August fell 23%.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. Really, I think rebates in 2009 distorted the comparison. That's a year-on-year comparison.
So it looks like people bought everything, just they bought sooner rather
Well, that's the Cash for Clunkers program, of course.
Yeah.
You know, month-over-month sales fell 4% when compared with July's figure. It's just looking pretty miserable. I mean, housing construction and construction generally is down very considerably in the US.
I think I said last week there's about a year's worth of stock waiting to be bought in the housing market, which is an awful lot of new houses.
Yeah, and of course, housing, autos, are huge consumers of chemicals of all sorts, not just plastics, but the fluids and the glues and everything else that go into helping make buildings and keep cars on the road. So it's not good news for the chemical industry, and adds further weight to the sort of second half slowdown. And Germany's VCI, Chemicals Trade Group, said on Thursday that talked about a slower growth in the second half. During the second quarter, chemical sales in Germany rose 5.2% compared with the previous quarter, which was a good increase, and 22.7% compared with the same 3 months of last year. And VCI is expecting chemicals production in Germany to rise by 11% in 2010, while prices should go up something like 2.5% as well. So, not bad, but there are still slowdown in the US.
Absolutely.
A problem, fears of overheating in China, and of course the debt crisis in Southern Europe, and all this hangs over sort of the second half outcome for chemicals.
And if that weren't enough, if you're in Iran, then you're finding that sanctions against your country are beginning to bite, aren't they? There's something happening at Bandar Iman?
There's a lot of stuff going on at the moment. We know that Lionel Barzell has pulled out of doing business, of all business in Iran, due to the US sanctions. That's a fairly old story now, I suppose. We've got analysts saying that producers in Iran will have to cut operating rates, but they also face difficulties making progress with plans to expand polyethylene, polypropylene capacities. It's spreading further than that. I mean, we saw this week that the state-owned Borzuye Petrochemical and Bandar Iman Petrochemical have had to shut down aromatics plants in the past week for unspecified reasons.
But so that's going to feed into the styrene chain, I should think.
That's right, with no fixed dates on when the facilities will restart.
Mm-hmm.
The Borzuye aromatics facilities produce something like 480,000 tonnes a year of benzene. That's in Asaluye. And Bandar Iman's plant has a benzene capacity of 180 kilotonnes a year, both operated by National Petrochemical Company.
Mm-hmm.
Sources are saying that the production has been halted because aromatics have been diverted to the domestic gasoline pool.
Yes, I can see you'd want to drive your car.
Because of sanctions. And so that implies, really, that the shutdowns will be felt by downstream paraxylene and styrene monomer units. And there have been shutdowns of MPC 700 kiloton a year, number 4 PX plant, and PARS 600,000 ton a year styrene monomer units. So we're seeing the impact of sanctions there quite clearly. Elsewhere, worldwide, people are still relatively upbeat, let's put it that way.
And you're telling me that CBER...
Clearly planning for the future. Yes, CBER is considering building a pyrolysis gas processing cracker, which is likely to produce something about 1 million tonnes a year of ethylene.
That's a reasonable amount. Where's that
going to be? Well, Dmitry Konov, the Russian group's president, told us this week that a decision about the project will be made in late 2011, expected to be located at the existing Tobolsk Neftekim site at Tobolsk in western Siberia.
Oh, right, okay.
I wouldn't say it's an isolated plant, but it's certainly landlocked.
Certainly landlocked. I think there's a railway to it, then that might be about the end of the pipeline to
Tobolsk. Yeah, and I mean, Mr. Konov said the climate is not overly severe in western Siberia.
No.
And while it's not ideally situated in terms of either domestic or export markets, is a very good position, clearly, in terms of obtaining feedstocks.
Yeah, it's not the Maldives, but it's very
well. That's the thing with Sibur, and potentially got access to a lot of feedstock.
Absolutely, all the
depends on where the market
circulation stuff exactly.
And now, of course, there are constraints when you do build.
Well, absolutely. In Thailand, we've seen some constraints.
Well, we know that a lot of projects in Thailand at the Mabtaput site, questions have been raised about their future, and Thailand's Central Administrative Court on Thursday withdrew the operating licenses for two expansion projects, one involving monoethylene glycol and the other vinyl chloride monomer, while it freed 74 others from suspension. So basically, PTT Chemicals' 95,000-tonne-a-year MEG expansion project, they need to reapply to get through health and environmental impact assessments.
Right, okay.
Thai Plastics and Chemicals, that's TPC's 90,000-tonne-a-year VCM expansion, has also failed to secure approval.
On more or less the same basis, we think.
I believe so, yes. We've seen some concrete action there from these. Moving to India, it's interesting to see that the Haryana state government, and we're talking about Panipat.
Oh, that one, yes, of course.
Indian Oil Corporation has a refinery there. And the local state, or the state government, wants to see the development of a petrochemical hub around that cracker, which I believe is close to 900,000 tonne a year. It's naphtha cracker.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got downstream polymer plants.
That's going to need a lot of land. Park.
Well, they've got 900 acres already set aside. Wow. And local government source said that Haryana is keen to encourage petrochemical industrial growth in Panipat.
Yep.
As IOC's refinery and National Fertilizers Limited's facilities are already located there.
Makes some sense, doesn't it? Now, in California, there was a bit of a boost for the plastics bag industry, wasn't there? Oh, possibly one in the eye for the environment. Depends how you want to
read it. Well, I suppose a sigh of relief, really. California Senate voted down a bill earlier this week that would have banned single-use carry-out bags, as they call them in America. Clearly, the bill was strongly opposed by plastics manufacturers who claimed it would damage recycling efforts, cost manufacturing jobs, and increase costs to consumers. But grocers had supported the bill, in part because it would create a uniform and statewide regulation rather than a mixture of local laws.
Oh, I see.
So they've got problems there.
Well, the Americans manage quite well with separate counties being wet or dry, depending
on... Well, they have, but I mean, more than 70 cities apparently are considering their own bans in California, so it could still be a bit of a mess. The American Chemistry Council is saying that plastic bag makers are hoping to work with grocers and legislators and environmental groups to develop more effective legislation that, in the ACC's words, enables consumer choice and promotes recycling education.
Well, we're all for that. Now, to round off, how about a nice starchy potato?
Yes, well, this is some quite interesting news from Germany and from BASF, where the company has been trying for many, many years to first of all gain acceptance for its genetically modified starch potato, Amiflora, which it wants to use to help produce starch.
Yes, yeah, for commercial would make
use,
sense.
For, industrial use, clearly. It's this year, it's won approval.
It did
so a little while ago. And it's grown 14 hectares of these seed potatoes. Mecklenburg, Western Pomerania, yes. And they'll now be used for the production of industrial starch. It believes it's playing in the big league now with these new, as they call them, innovative technologies. BASF CEO Jürgen Hambrecht announced at the harvest that BASF had applied for approval for its next high-performing modern starch potato, Amadea, and should be available to European farmers in the very near future, the company says.